Our next presentation will be from Darren Gee from Peyto.
Thanks, Jeff, and thanks to Peters for inviting Peyto to present at today's conference and sit on this illustrious board of unconventional gas producers. I don't think I'm going to try and compete with Steve for fastest talker today. Peyto is still a trust, at least until the end of the year, although there's foreshadowing because my name tag says Peyto Exploration and Development Corp. So apparently Peters is already a foregone conclusion, but we do have a distribution still, 12 cents a month, which represents about a 10% cash-on-cash yield at today's unit price. We've been in business for 12 years now, and we are very much an unconventional gas producer focused exclusively in the Deep Basin. We have a very organic strategy. We come up with places to drill, and then we go out and develop reserves, turning them into production, creating net asset value for our unit holders and shareholders. And then we've used the trust structure here to do some profit sharing over the last several years with the earnings that we've generated from that activity. And, of course, that hasn't been missed by the market. We've been the largest performing total return E&P company on the Toronto Stock Exchange with, over the last 10 years or so, about a 50% compound return, which is pretty exciting. As I said, we're exclusively focused in the Deep Basin, one of the penultimate resource plays. We were in the resource plays before they were really in vogue, and we've been there the whole time, built ourselves a nice position in the Deep Basin, in the best part of the Deep Basin, we believe, with some of the liquid-rich Cardium production and some of the deeper horizons in the Cretaceous package that we're working on. We've got five operated gas plants. We've been expanding those this year. We're up to about 225 million cubic feet a day of processing capacity. I think we're a little over that, 24,000 barrels a day of production growing this year, and we're adding to our land base, picking up sections here and there within our core area. Of course, it's all about horizontals these days. Originally, we targeted the Deep Basin with vertical wells, and we used to segregate all of our production. That was the proper reservoir management technique. Then came commingling, where everybody was completing all the zones and commingling them all together in vertical wells. And now we're back to drilling them horizontally, individually, developing those zones, which is good because I think we're going to do a better job ultimately of figuring out how much gas is there and how much we've got to put in to get it all out. We are in the low of a natural gas price cycle, and as much as everybody at the conference this week has probably been bashing gas, I put this slide up just to remind everybody that there's a difference between the spot price that we're all seeing today and some of the longer-term price that I think gas has to command. We've all heard numbers. John had a nice slide up earlier about supply costs being more in that $5 to $7 range, even for a lot of the big plays that are bringing on all the new production these days, even though we're currently enjoying a $3 gas price, as it may be. But I think the reality is that we will see a return when gas prices cycle back up to more of the longer-dated long-term prices. I track a five-year swap, and it may not be quite as liquid as the spot price, but it does give us an indication of what longer-term prices are. And, of course, the only way, if you can't move to oil, which we don't have any oil in our portfolio, we're a natural gas producer, so the only way you make money when you're at the bottom of the cycle is to have low costs. You have to be a low-cost producer, and you have to be a very low-cost producer to be able to generate a profit through the entire commodity price cycle, the gas price cycle that we're seeing. There's a lot of volatility in the gas price, obviously going from $3 to $12 and back again. And in order to make a good profit at that, you've got to have low total supply costs, not just one cost component, not just the F&D cost, but all of your cash costs have to be low as well, so operating costs. We've got very low industry-leading operating costs. We've had the luxury of enjoying some royalty reductions in Alberta, been positioned in the places where they've made some good royalty incentives, put those in place, kept a lid on our finding costs as we've developed over the time, and G&A and interest, even a little bit of bonus money in there. So we have done some hedging activity that's smoothed some of that out, but I think we've managed to maintain good profitability through the entire commodity price cycle. We look at some of the competitors. Ultra is one that we tend to benchmark in the U.S. They advertise themselves as a very low-cost producer as well, and they do have very low operating costs. And I think, you know, even they're seeing that obviously $4 or $5 gas is starting to push hard into their cost structure and start to chip away at their profitability too. There are companies that can generate consistent profit time and again through the commodity cycle, and then there are some that cannot, of course. And we don't have the luxury of moving from commodity to balance that off. We have to be a low-cost producer throughout. That starts with low operating costs. Low operating costs for us, we try to keep them low, and we've tried to keep a lid on them. There's been a lot of inflation in operating costs. Naturally, gas has lower lifting costs than oil, so it's going to have lower costs and needs to have lower costs where the commodity price is at. But you have to be very careful with operating costs as they start to escalate and inflate on you. The ultimate response is that they're chipping away at your reserves at the end of the life of your reserves. You're starting to see perfectly good production go uneconomic at the end of the life if your operating costs continue to inflate. So it's not a coincidence that Peyto's low operating costs also lead to very long reserve life. Everyone talks about how they can make money at $4 gas. Here's how you make money at $3 gas. So this would be just a breakdown of our margins at $3 gas and $70 oil equivalents. You can see for a couple of different species of gas, the Cardiums and the leaner Wilrich Nauticuan gas, what the revenue stream looks like, how the cost structure, all the cash costs, royalties, op costs, transportation, G&A, and interest come off of that to yield a netback anywhere from sort of $18 to $27. Still at $3 gas is a pretty attractive netback. And if we're finding and developing new producing reserves for $10, $12, then we're still recycling money basically 2-to-1 at $3 gas prices, which, that is still going to deliver handsome returns. There's no question. So we've been, with those good returns, plowing along through 2010 here with an active capital program, $225 to $250 million we're looking to spend this year. We're about halfway through that program here to the start of September. 25 net wells drilled out of a planned 50 net wells. The majority of them are horizontal. We're definitely doing a heavy horizontal program this year. We did some vertical wells early in the year, and we'll get a few more, I think, towards the end of the year. But the majority will definitely be horizontals. We're having to expand our infrastructure as we go to take advantage and to accept some of this new production that we're building. So we've done a big plant expansion here to double the size of our nose hill plant up to 60 million a day. Ultimately by the end of the year, and we should have some compressor modifications that will increase capacity at our Old Man and Wild Hay facilities, get us up to about 245 million a day of total processing capacity, so there will be about a 25% increase this year. And we've been slowly chipping away at land sales. We've purchased 33 new sections this year, very attractive costs, and so if you said there's 2 to 3 wells per section, horizontal wells, then we've already replaced the inventory for the year and even added to it. And, of course, we'll keep on with that activity. That capital program has delivered some significant and exciting production growth, of course, in the early part of this year. We're back to spending money and putting it in the ground, and that's building asset again. One of our longstanding unit holders commented to me that it's about time we got on with it. And I said that we had to get rid of about $1 billion worth of earnings, accumulated earnings first. That took a little while to get rid of that. So now we're back to putting the money in the ground and building our production base again. Obviously, the horizontal wells are contributing to that. They've lowered the cost to add new producing barrels. We're down to about 17,000 of flowing BOE additions last year and this year as well. And we're starting to see, obviously, those layers increase our total corporate production up quite substantially. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, though. As we increase new production with new flush, we've got an increased corporate decline. So this year we enjoyed about a 22% decline. Next year that looks to climb probably 26-27% with this wedge of brand new production. So the treadmill will definitely speed up as we add new volumes. So there is a pitfall there. If you're focused solely on growth, you can miss the ultimate prize, which is to generate a return. The returns are the driver of our investment decision. That is the sole driver, not the growth. If you generate good rates of return, then usually you do get growth as a byproduct. Sometimes, though, you can focus on the growth and you have profitless growth and don't generate any return at all. So it has to be one before the other. It can't be just solely a focus on growth. As I mentioned, we are looking to convert to a corp at the end of the year, and maybe we already have, according to Peters here. By the end of this year, we'll have accumulated about $850 million or more in tax pools. We've used the trust structure effectively to bank a lot of tax pools, and we'll have good tax coverage for probably 5 years after we convert. It's exactly the same business strategies we've always had. You know, it's a very organic one. We go out and drill wells and build production and reserves that create net asset value. And, you know, hopefully after we get our 2011 budgets put together this fall, we'll be able to give some guidance on the split between dividends and capital reinvestment. There's a bunch of slides here on the individual plays. I'm just going to quickly blast through. They're a bit of more update material as we move along. There's three that we're focusing on with the horizontal wells. All three are eligible for deep gas royalty incentives in Alberta because all of them exist below the 2,000-meter depth. So we're getting a 5% initial royalty rate for the first year, and then we're getting another several years beyond that at 5% royalty rate because of the deep gas drilling incentives that exist. Our Cardium program, we're up to 8 horizontal wells now, and that continues. We've got 5 rigs running currently across our asset base. We'll get that up to 6 here right away, and so we're busy and very active in the third and fourth quarters drilling horizontal wells across this resource play. We've seen some mixed results, some variable results. There's no question that with the vertical drilling over the last 10 years, we saw a lot of variability in the results. With vertical wells, there's no surprise we're going to see some variability with the horizontal wells. The average well, though, looks to be significantly better than vertical wells, as it should, because there are multiples of capital required as well. But we're on track here. They turn the corner, and they're stabilizing as expected, and so we are definitely getting better returns from the horizontals. Again, the Nauticuans, we've got 5 Nauticuan horizontal wells now. We're definitely seeing a difference between the east side of Sundance and the west side of Sundance. A lot more pressure on the west side, and those rates are coming in quite a lot stronger than on the east side. We've had tests, you know, 10 to 15 million a day. As John mentioned, that those kind of rates get very hard on your equipment, so we're trying to hold back a lot of that that flush production because you don't want to have to spend extra money to upsize your separators and a lot of heavy-duty metal in there just to take advantage of a few months of flush production. But we are seeing some very impressive rates from our Nauticuan wells. And our Wilrich program, Steve talked all about the Wilrich earlier, so I don't need to talk too much more about that, but we're just west of where his Wilrich production is, and we've got 7-8 wells now on production in the Wilrich. Very consistent results. They look very predictable and very good. So we're getting very good rate of return. Definitely, this is about the only way you can develop the Wilrich. Verticals didn't make any money, the results we were seeing. So we have to do it with horizontal wells, and the horizontal wells look very attractive. I think I'll leave you with this last slide. I think it's maybe it's a tough graphic to represent. So it's on a scale of 0 to 12 months and 0 to 100% payout. So really, it's trying to illustrate which wells are going to pay out within a year, inside a year, and which wells are going to take longer. So if the red bars exceed the yellow bars, which the yellow bars below are the time on, the red bars is percent payout. So where the red is exceeding the yellow, we're paying out inside a year. Where the yellow is exceeding the red, it's going to take longer than a year. But generally speaking, we're seeing the majority of our horizontal program paying out inside 1 year, which, considering the commodity price that we're currently in, is very encouraging. If we were drilling these same formations with vertical wells, we would easily be 2 to 3 year payouts. They may still be generating good rate of return, but it would be 2 to 3 year payouts, and we're seeing much accelerated payout with the horizontal wells, which ultimately lowers our cost of capital, allows us to get that capital back to work, put it back in the ground, recycle it to generate additional return. So there's lots of formations in the Deep Basin, that whole package that we're playing. We've tried several, and there's several more for us to try. We're going to keep chipping away. This big resource area has lots of gas in place, and it seems perfectly suited to the new technology that's been developed, and we're going to stay busy on it for this year and into next year. I'll leave it at that, and maybe we'll get to the panel with questions.